Be seated, please. Something I omitted in my conversation with Christian and Aurora the other day was about the mechanics of receiving Holy Communion. So it's good for you to know that. You'll line up with your family. I will come by with the host, the body of Christ, we say. I'll put it in your hand. And the way we're receiving communion this morning, you just go along with your family. You're probably what we call, because we can't call anything by its easy name, we Episcopalians call this intinction. We'll dip the host, a little wafer, into the wine, the blood of Christ. And just as you're baptized into this family, this particular family today, that is the meal that we share in common. I mean, a particular meal, a sacred meal, that reminds us of the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. So I think that ends your instruction for today. Those names, Christian and Aurora, could hardly be more apt for this occasion. Christian, almost self-explanatory on this day, that these two officially become Christians in their own right. Aurora, in Greek and many other languages, means dawn, on this day of the dawning of their life in Christ. Christian and Aurora's godparents, who answer on behalf of her. I love this thing about the godparents. You'll see it in the baptismal liturgy. They don't say, she will do this. She says, they make the promises in their own name on behalf of Aurora. That always touches me. I think that's an important part of this liturgy. And they answer as if they were being baptized this day because they're answering for Aurora. And among those questions are these. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Will you follow and obey him as your Lord? Well, these two have heard and read and been told a bit about Jesus in their young lives. And today, we set them on a path to hear and read and learn a great deal more about him. Jesus' life on earth and his story are presented to us in the Bible. Even though it's a pretty brief statement of an entire 33-year life. Still, at times it's quite detailed and complicated, and the story can be challenging for thinking people in the 21st century. If there's any shorthand for the purpose of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, we find that, I believe, best in his own words as we have received them. The most pertinent of those seems to me to be the following. Love God with all of yourself, mind, body, spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself in your best moments of loving yourself. That can be problematic for some of us. Feed my sheep, as we read in last week's gospel, meaning take care of folks who can't take care of themselves. A kind of tacit corollary to this, I think, is encourage and equip those who can take care of themselves so they're not needlessly dependent on others and can become part of that force of love of caring for others. It is by doing these things and holding these attitudes that we Christians fulfill our baptismal promise to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, there's a lot more to what happens in baptism. More and more wonderful parts of the baptismal covenant. I thought I was going to get by without mentioning it this time, but I never do. I suppose we're not supposed to have favorites, but my favorite among those things that we say in the baptismal covenant is, will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Because our Lord knows us, we know ourselves, we make our best promise and mean it down to our toes, and yet we're going to need to call on that forgiveness often. It's not needed. It's among all of those wonderful parts. But I believe that and all of the rest of this merely expands on the fairly straightforward questions and answers we've just considered. Love God, love your neighbor, take care of each other. The readings for today also speak to this essential matter of personal relationship with God and Christ. It's in this sheep and shepherd language, like these two examples. Well, there's the collect for today, that prayer with which we began, in which we affirm that our Lord calls us each by name, and that's what we do, in part, in baptism. Another rather archaic, at this point, term for baptism is christening, which we've come to understand as naming someone, or something, like a boat. And we give that name on this day. We read the 23rd Psalm today because it's in the list, because our lectionary says that on this day of the Christian calendar, it just comes up. It's the 23rd Psalm appointed for us to read today. We read it yesterday as well at Laverne Broad's funeral. How fitting it is at both the beginning of our Christian life at baptism and at the end of our earthly life, knowing that we have been shepherded all the way. Today, I'm struck by the psalmist telling us that the Lord makes us lie down in green pastures. That's particularly good news for some of us who find it difficult to slow down, take a nap, for example. The Lord leads us beside still waters. How literally refreshing to be led in such a way that we're aware of still waters, God's constant love for us. Occasionally, running on a trail beside a pond or stream, I discover I've been led to a peace and calm. I find it hard, sometimes impossible, to conjure on my own. That's grace. The King of love, my shepherd is, we sang a few moments ago in that beautiful paraphrase of Psalm 23. Though kings and shepherds may not be part of daily life for most of us, I know there are some exceptions among the people who sit here right now today, but we have all known what it is to feel love for someone and to be loved by someone. Like our mothers, for example, on this Mother's Day. That love finds its unimaginable epitome in this family to which we welcome Christian and Aurora today, a family in which God loves every single one of us and all of us together and calls us all to love one another and those around us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.